I might give you a brief flashback of a high school or college English class. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us and nothing before us. And we were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period. And of course, that would be Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. This story about the living contradiction between human and inhuman achievement, the best and the worst of what people have to offer, the city of God mixed with the city of man, cross currents of hope and fear, of peace and violence. And it's into a city like London or like Eugene, a city of Jerusalem, that Jesus crosses into on Palm Sunday. And by Friday, crosses back out of the city to a hill called Calvary. Jesus crosses into the city of Zion, the city on a hill, the house of the Lord, the temple shines proudly at the top, the city of Zion and the city that stones the prophets. Jesus crosses into this city. The last two Sundays, we've been putting a little bit of emphasis on wandering in the wilderness. Light in the wilderness and life in the wilderness. We've been thinking a bit about Moses and the Israelites 20 centuries before Jesus' crucifixion. How Moses led the people of God out of Egypt and they took the long way. And they spent decades and an entire generation came and went before they reached the outskirts of the promised land. Crossing from the wilderness to the land of promise, from wilderness to renewal, is not easy and it's not quick. Crossing the wilderness, all that divides the people of Israel. Moses went up a mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and the people said, "What happened to that Moses guy? It's been more than a month." Moses comes down and sees the golden calf and the people carousing, and he says, "What's happened to your people, God?" The people of God are divided, and they don't know what to make of it next. But I tell you, if you would like to cross the wilderness, if you want to make your way from Egypt to the promised land of Israel, in 40 years or more, Moses is your guy. Moses is your travel guide. But Moses, of course, he can't actually take you into the promised land. He gets to climb Mount Pisgah, a different Pisgah, and he looks out across the River Jordan over to the land of promise. And that's as much as Moses gets to see because he was barred from entering the promised land himself. Moses got to the near side of the river. Then he died and was buried in the wilderness of Moab. And nobody at the end of Deuteronomy knew exactly the location of his grave. It wouldn't be Moses to lead the people across the river. It would be his successor, Joshua. And Joshua is the name Yeshua, which is the name Jesus. So if there's any kids here named Josh today, you have the name Jesus. But Moses' successor was a man named Joshua. And then 20 centuries later, here comes a new Joshua, Jesus of Nazareth, coming to the city of Jerusalem, crossing into the city with shouts of Hosanna and palm branches waving, and the crowd in joy, and some of the leaders of the city getting very, very nervous. But here is this new Joshua. You want to get through the wilderness in 40 years or more, Moses is your guy. But in Jesus, we have a man who went into the wilderness for 40 days, faced the tempter's power, didn't have a single meal of manna to speak of. And by the word of God and the sustaining power of God's angels and Holy Spirit, Jesus crossed out of that wilderness in 40 days. Moses is great if you need law and structure and organized religion. Jesus is great if you are looking for gospel and freedom and forgiveness and sometimes disorganized religion. We can follow Moses around and keep it up for decades, some of us even for a lifetime following Moses. But where Jesus leads, he told his disciples at the Last Supper, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot come. We can follow Moses, and some of us can keep this steam going. But Jesus, we don't want to follow where he's heading. He crosses into the city in a crowd, but on Friday, Jesus crosses out of the city for all intents and purposes, utterly alone, to a hill to be crucified on. Moses is constantly tugging our elbow, saying, come on, this way, let's go. Keep it together, people. And Jesus says, stop. Watch and pray. Listen and receive. I am the way. The city, of course, was in turmoil as Jesus crosses in. He goes right from this grand entrance to the temple and starts turning over tables and speaking judgment against the way that the religious leaders had profited off of pilgrims coming to the city to give a sacrifice of praise. The city is beginning to be in an uproar, and Jesus not only crosses the temple leaders, then over the course of the week, he crosses paths in debating with Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes of the law, debating about the heart of God's ways compared to the letters of the law, and describing himself as the one who was to come. Hosanna. What's incredible about Jesus' name is not just that it's the name Joshua, and he's this new Joshua, but his name is actually hidden inside the word Hosanna. So when we wave our branches and say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the word Hosanna means, oh, save us, we pray. Save us, we pray. Hoshiana, save us, we pray. And inside of that word is the word save. And the name Jesus, Yeshua, actually means Savior. So the crowd on Palm Sunday is literally saying, Jesus us, we pray. Jesus us, we ask. And this is what Jesus has come to do. And in our reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see that Jesus wasn't simply crossing into a city, a prophet into the holy city of Jerusalem. Jesus actually is the Son of God, who being in very form with God, equal with the Father, nevertheless saw this divinity and this power not as something to be exploited, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being found in human likeness. And Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians gives us the word that Jesus crossed over from heaven to earth. He didn't just cross over into humanity and into human experience. He crossed over into humiliation. He did this for you. He did this out of great love for you. He did this to cross the divide that stood between you and your Maker. To cross the divide the divides that we erect between brother and sister. He crosses from heaven to earth. So it's really not a shame for him to cross into the city on a donkey, surrounded not by soldiers with swords, but peasants with palm branches. It's no shame to Jesus having crossed from the heights of heaven to the depths of humanity. The old hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, has a wonderful line for a wilderness experience. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I long to take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within a wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and burdens of the day. Jesus has crossed the city for you. He's crossed out of the city and up a hill for us. Jesus has crossed the divide between God and his people. He's crossed the divide within your own heart, in which it is always the best of times and the worst of times, in which our own hosannas cross quickly over into shouts of crucify him when our expectations are failed or at the merest misapprehension that God, my God, has forsaken me. It's nearly time to come out of the wilderness, Bethesda. And we do this not by following Moses. We do this by watching and praying as Jesus is handed over to be crucified. We do this by receiving his body and blood in the meal, gathering this Thursday evening at 7 for a Last Supper and for the stripping of the altar in preparation for Friday. We watch and pray, listen and receive on Good Friday as this place is shrouded in darkness and we hear the 7 last and precious words of Christ from the cross. And we return on Sunday morning to a packed room and a potluck to follow, to celebrate that Jesus hasn't just crossed the city or crossed the divide, but Jesus has crossed over from death to life. He has hosannaed us. He has Jesused us. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, this Holy Week, prepare your way ahead of you. Prepare us to watch and pray, listen and receive all that you have done to cross the divide, to hosanna us. As we worship and receive your gifts this week, may you unite us and keep us in your grace, now and always. Amen. We have selected verses of this hymn. As you are able, please rise. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receiving God's goodness, responding to Christ's grace, and rejoicing in the Spirit's gifts, we pray for our church, our world, and all in need. Lead us, dear Jesus, in your way this holy week. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might have ears to hear and eyes to watch and pray. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Hosanna, save your church, O God. Enable us to boldly confess in all times and places that you are Lord. With the humility of a servant, equip our congregations and parachurch ministries and service organizations to proclaim and demonstrate your extravagant love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Hosanna, save your creation, O God. Every living being you have made has purpose. Give us a renewed appreciation for all you have fixed with your hands and by your word. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Save, Hosanna, the peoples of the earth, O God. Restore dignity to those who are scorned and persecuted for their religious beliefs. Deliver them from the hands of their enemies. Bring peace to places where conflict runs deep. We remember especially the families of the victims of the Covenant School shooting. Remember in your mercy, young Evelyn, William, and Hallie, and their servants, their staff members, Cynthia, Mike, and Catherine, as well as for the family of the perpetrator. Merciful God, Hosanna, save those who cry to you in any need, O God. Be present with those who grieve or who are troubled by illness. Pray for those on hospice, Carol, Phyllis, Barbara, and Rod. And for Linda in memory care. For our homebound, Barbara, Louise, Elsie, Virgil, and Marcia. For all those loved ones that we pray for and remember who are receiving or awaiting cancer treatment, as well as for our loved ones who are in other needs of healing, whether of body or of spirit. For all these dear people, we call out their names in our hearts or out loud. We pray for Pastor Steve on sabbatical and discerning your next call for him and for Amy and her new endeavors. You hear us when we call to you and deliver us from the depths of our despair and free us from the worries that bind us. Merciful God, we thank you, O God, for having hosannaed the saints of old who embodied your love. We remember especially Judy and Hannah. As you came to their aid, so deliver us in times of trial, that every knee would bend in praise to you. Merciful God, we lift our prayers to you, O Lord, trusting in your steadfast love and in your promise to renew your whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace with one another. As you return to your seats, a few community notes, along with our council update. We worship this Thursday and Friday evenings at 7 o'clock. The Maundy-Thursday service will have the Lord's Supper, followed by the stripping of the altar as the paraments and vestments and altars prepared to be shrouded in black for Good Friday's service. The Good Friday service this year will be the seven last words of Christ. If you have Easter flowers to bring by the church office this week during office hours, it's Monday through Thursday, 9 to 1. And these will be set up and decorated and such on Saturday morning. If you want to help with that, you can talk with the Altar Guild or Lois Toftemark. If Easter lilies are very strongly scented, so if you have Easter lilies, they'll probably be outside in the carport entrance to greet people coming in. There are a couple of signups as well. If you'd like to donate flowers in honor of or in memory of loved ones, there's a slip of paper at the Connect table down there. You can do that, or you can click the link in the emails or the evangel to sign up for flowers. And we'll be printing those bulletins at least by Wednesday. So please get those names in as soon as possible for flowers. Potluck. Also, we're doing a new thing this year. Instead of the youth breakfast, we're going to have a potluck for Easter. And a lot of people have signed up online, and then a few people have signed up on the clipboard in the entryway. You can certainly add your name if you would like to bring an egg dish or a potato dish or a dozen or two muffins. That'd be wonderful. If your baking days are behind you, please come and eat anyway. There's always plenty of food out of Bethesda Potluck. And if you'd like to help decorate, there is an event the night before, so we can't really decorate till Easter morning. So I bet you could come almost any time of the morning on Easter, and we could put you to work. So, we'll be ready for you for a great day next week. The evangel will be ready very soon. It wasn't ready to print today. The Lydia Circle, the Women's Lydia Circle, is going to meet this Wednesday, the 5th. At 10 a.m. in the library downstairs. And then we have Judy Klupinger's memorial service will be this Saturday. It'll be at West Lawn at the Musgroves Chapel at 1 o'clock in the afternoon this Saturday for Judy. Hannah, you're up for the CPC update. Does that ring any bells for Monday night? All right, come on up, Hannah. Anything else we should highlight this morning? Sunday school, we're working on getting that ready to relaunch after Easter, so April 16th, if you've got Sunday school age children, fifth grade and down. And if you have middle school children, they could help assist the teachers too, that'd be great. But that'll start the week after Easter. And then next Sunday also, there's an Easter egg hunt during the potluck. So that'll take care of. We could use candy. I haven't looked at today's. I know a few people. Yes, please.
In the back corner, we go over here. Uh-huh. Is there bulk foods and there are bulk wrapped candies at $2.98 a pound?
Okay.
Eat that with Hershey's or anybody.
Okay. Sounds like I hear there's a lot there, but bulk candy at Winco.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the youth group is packing these eggs on Wednesday, so we'll see if we have enough candy for the help and for the eggs, and we'll go from there. Okay. Yeah.
Not to worry, they're handwritten, so it won't be very long. I want to start out by saying good morning to you all, and thanks for being here. What a joy to see so many people here. Right in my mouth. A group of 11 members, I'm so happy, have volunteered to be on the worship team with Pastor Tom. And that includes a young teenage girl. And I'm just going, wow, that's where we want to go. Not us old folks here. Thursday morning, 10 or so, a small group of people meets in the prayer chapel with Pastor Tom. In the process of hiring an office manager is ongoing. I'm sure our three office gals and Deanna will look forward to that. Thanks to visitors for coming to our monthly CBC meeting. So great to have you there. And let's see, where else was that on these notes? And newcomers lunch will be announced later. Easter Sunday next week, like Pastor Tom said, with lunch afterwards, after we celebrate our risen Lord. Then I want to thank you for people who helps keep the park. We have this glorious park out there, and Walla keeps it mowed, and we need to help him because there's much more than mowing to be done, trust me. So now some volunteers have come to pressure wash the cross on the mound. And if you haven't seen the memorial for our veterans, Sven has been out there scrubbing it clean. He's good with a brush. Between memorial plaques and sailboats, he does well. That's on a veterans memorial, and Sandy is getting more names to be put on a new plaque that has been donated by a donor here, and it will be coming probably later in the year. And a new flagpole is in the process. Also some sweet people figuring that out. The three long picnic tables, I thought I love pressure washing, that they could just be cleaned and painted. They're gonna fall apart. They need new wood on them. And if you don't believe me, please take a walk in the park and we'll have to see what we can do on that one. And good news, our March giving was up, so not to where we need to be, but all the help we are getting, I am so encouraged. 128 people attended last Sunday, and that was low because of spring break, and it always has been, so 128 was quite a bunch. And thank you for Bethman and our choir for singing without music and singing, and of course, the man over there, Chico, thank you. And without all that, it just wouldn't be the same. Now I want to have a last thing. Should you have any questions, just ask Bill. I don't know where Bill is. Where's Bill Gangwood? Did he hide?
He's out of town. That's why you're on the mic.
Oh, he's just leaving. So just ask Bill. He'll be at the coffee hour for a minute. Or Pastor Tom, if they don't have the answer, come and have coffee with me. Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah. Let's stand and sing as the offering is brought forward. Let us pray. God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come and taste the joy of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All are welcome at Christ's table. It's his supper, not ours. If you have children who receive communion, please have your kids hold out a hand as a clear sign to our server. And kids who don't receive communion will receive a blessing instead. For those worshiping at home, this is the body of Christ given for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen.